Good evening and welcome to our special Christmas Eve candlelight service. We're so delighted that you've chosen to take some of your Christmas weekend and spend it with us. I noticed that as we're getting ready to get started that we still have people in the foyer that are trying to make their way in. So you can help us out. If there is some space in your row, if you could kind of move towards the center aisle, this will allow the ushers to allow other families, individuals arriving to come down the side aisles and find a seat. So that would be very helpful. Thank you for that. Service has been planned for the whole family, and I see we've got children of all ages in here, and that's great. We do ask that if the children get a little bit fidgety, that you would take them either to the nursery or take them to the welcome room just till they settle down, and then you're welcome to bring them back in. We appreciate your understanding with that, and it'll just make things go a lot smoother. We do ask, there are a number of different performances tonight, and I know the temptation will be to applaud after each one, but tonight we want our focus to be on Christ, on the birth of our Savior. And so I am going to ask you that you not applaud after each performance, and just out of reverence for Christ tonight. If you're visiting tonight, and I suspect many of you are, we'd love to have you come back and check out one of our Sunday morning services. We have two services that are identical each week at both 9:30 and 11. As you come back, I'm sure you're going to find us to be a very warm, welcoming, friendly, Bible-believing, Christ-centered church, and we have stuff for the whole family to participate in. So if you're visiting for the first time tonight, we'd love to have you come back and check us out on a Sunday morning as well.
What a great reminder of why Jesus Christ was born. One of the favorite carols of mine is Joy to the World, the Lord is come. He's come to be born for us. Why don't you stand as we sing a few carols together? I like to sing a lot in our Christmas Eve candlelight service. So Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love.
Stillness lay to hear thee.
Gabriel's Questions by Max Lucado. Gabriel must have scratched his head at this one. He wasn't one to question his God-given missions. Sending fire and dividing seas were all in an eternity's work for this angel. When God sent, Gabriel went. And when word got out that God was to become man, Gabriel was enthused. He could envision the moment. The Messiah in a blazing chariot, the king descending on a fiery cloud, an explosion of light from which the Messiah would emerge. That's what he expected. What he never expected, however, was what he got. a slip of paper with a Nazarene address. God will become a baby, it read. Tell the mother to name the child Jesus and tell her not to be afraid. Gabriel was never one to question, but this time he had to wonder. God will become a baby? Gabriel had seen babies before. He had been platoon leader on the bulrush operation. He remembered what little Moses looked like. That's okay for humans, he thought to himself. But God? The heavens can't contain him. How could a body? Besides, have you ever seen what comes out of those babies? Hardly befitting for the creator of the universe. Babies must be carried and fed, bounced and bathed. To imagine some mother burping God on her shoulder? Why, that was beyond what even an angel could imagine. And what of this name? What was it? Jesus? Such a common name. There's a Jesus in every cul-de-sac. Come on. Even Gabriel had more punch to it than Jesus. Call the baby Eminence or Majesty or Heaven Sent. Anything but Jesus. So Gabriel scratched his head. What happened to the good old days? The Sodom and Gomorrah stuff. Flooding the globe, flaming swords. That's the action he liked. But Gabriel had his orders. Take the message to Mary. Must be a special girl, he assumed as he traveled. But Gabriel was in for another shock. One peek told him Mary was no queen. The mother-to-be of God was not regal. She was a Jewish peasant who barely outgrown her acne and had a crush on a guy named Joe. And speaking of Joe, what does this fellow know? Might as well be a weaver in Spain or a cobbler in Greece. He's a carpenter. Look at him over there. Sawdust in his beard and nail apron around his waist. You're telling me God is going to have dinner every night with him? You're telling me the source of wisdom is going to call this guy dad? You're telling me a common laborer is going to be charged with giving food to God? What if he gets laid off? What if he gets cranky? What if he decides to run off with a pretty young girl from down the street? Then where will we be? It was all Gabriel could do to keep from turning back. This is a peculiar idea you have, God, he must have muttered to himself. Are God's guardians given to such musings? Are we?
I invite you to stand with me again as we continue with some Christmas worship together.
Amen. angels sing, praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall. Angels sing, praises ring to the newborn King. Peace on earth here with us, joy awakening. At your feet we fall, adore. Come, let us adore. Oh, come, let us adore Him, the Lord. Worship Christ, the Lord. Let all that is within us adore.
You may be seated.
The Arrival by Max Lucado. The noise and bustle began earlier than usual in the village. As night gave way to dawn, people were already on the streets. Vendors were positioning themselves on the corners of the most heavily traveled avenues. Store owners were unlocking the doors to their shops. Children were awakened by the excited barking of the street dogs and the complaints of donkeys pulling carts. The owner of the inn had awakened earlier than most in the town. After all, the inn was full and the beds taken. Every available mat or blanket had been put to use. Soon all the customers would be stirring and there would be a lot of work to do. One's imagination is kindled thinking about the conversation of the innkeeper and his family at the breakfast table. Did anyone mention the arrival of the young couple the night before? Did anyone ask about their welfare? Did anyone comment on the pregnancy of the girl on the donkey? Perhaps. Perhaps someone raised the subject, but at best it was raised, not discussed. There was nothing that novel about them. They were, possibly, one of several families turned away that night. Besides, who had time to talk about them when there was so much excitement in the air? Augustus did the economy of Bethlehem a favor when he decreed that a census should be taken. Who could remember when such commerce had hit the village? No, it is doubtful that anyone mentioned the couple's arrival or wondered about the condition of the girl. They were too busy. The day was upon them. The day's bread had to be made. The morning's chores had to be done. There was too much to do to imagine that the impossible had occurred. God had entered the world as a baby. Yet were someone to chance upon the sheep stable on the outskirts of Bethlehem that morning, what a peculiar scene they would behold. The stable stinks like all stables do. The stench of urine, dung, and sheep reeks pungently in the air. The ground is hard, the hay scarce. Cobwebs cling to the ceiling, and a mouse scurries across the dirt floor. A more lowly place of birth could not exist. Off to one side sit a group of shepherds. They sit silently on the floor, perhaps perplexed, perhaps in awe, no doubt in amazement. Their night watch had been interrupted by an explosion of light from heaven and a symphony of angels. God goes to those who have time to hear him, so on this cloudless night, he went to simple shepherds. Near the young mother sits the weary father. If anyone is dozing, it's he. He can't remember the last time he sat down. And now that the excitement has subsided a bit, now that Mary and the baby are comfortable, he leans against the wall of the stable and feels his eyes grow heavy. He still hasn't figured it all out. The mystery of the event puzzles him, but he hasn't the energy to wrestle with the questions. What's important is that the baby is fine and that Mary is safe. As sleep comes, he remembers the name the angel told him to use, Jesus. We will call him Jesus. Mary's wide awake. My, how young she looks. Her head rests on the soft leather of Joseph's saddle. The pain has eclipsed by wonder. She looks into the face of the baby, her son, her Lord, his majesty. At this point in history, the human being who best understands who God is and what he is doing is a teenage girl in a smelly stable. She can't take her eyes off him. Somehow Mary knows she's holding God. So this is he. She remembers the words of the angel, his kingdom will never end. He looks like anything but a king. His face is prunish and red. His cry, though strong and healthy, is still the helpless and piercing cry of a baby. And he is absolutely dependent upon Mary for his well-being. Majesty in the midst of the mundane. Holiness in the filth of sheep manure and sweat. Divinity entering the world on the floor of a stable, through the womb of a teenager, and in the presence of a carpenter. She touches the face of the infant God. How long was your journey? This baby had overlooked the universe. These rags keeping him warm were the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen, and worshiping angels had been replaced with kind but bewildered shepherds. Meanwhile, the city hums. The merchants are unaware that God has visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe that he had just sent God out into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their village. They were all too busy to consider the possibility. Those who missed His Majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking.
Shepherds and wise men for glory revealed. Seems like the greatest journey of all was heaven now searching for the hearts of the lost. Gloria, our Savior found us. Gloria, O love divine, through the darkness, He won't relent. So great, we'll find a way. Gloria, for all of the riches laid at His could offer to honor the King seems like the greatest treasure of all.
Please join us standing one more time, if you would, as we continue with some Christmas carols.
Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Dispense the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations line, all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him, the King of kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
You may be seated. I found, and it was actually directed to me, it's called Joseph's Prayer, from a book called On This Holy Night. The white space between Bible verses is fertile ground for questions. One can hardly read Scripture without whispering, "I wonder. I wonder if Eve ever ate any more fruit. I wonder if Noah slept well during storms. I wonder if Jonah liked fish, or if Jeremiah had friends.
Did Moses avoid bushes? Did Jesus tell jokes? Did Peter ever try water walking again? The Bible is a fence full of knot holes through which we can peek but not see the whole picture. It's a scrapbook of snapshots capturing people and encounters with God, but not always recording the result. So we wonder. Knot holes and snapshots and I wonders. You'll find them in every chapter about every person. But nothing stirs so many questions as does the birth of Christ. Characters appear and disappear before we can ask them anything. The innkeeper too busy to welcome God? Did he ever learn who he turned away? The shepherds? Did they ever hum the song the angels sang? The wise men who followed the star? What was it like to worship a toddler? And Joseph, especially Joseph. I've got questions for Joseph. Did you and Jesus arm wrestle? Did he ever let you win? Did you ever look up from your prayers and see Jesus listening? How do you say Jesus in Egyptian? Whatever happened to the wise men, whatever happened to you? We don't know exactly what happened to Joseph. His role in Act 1 is so crucial that we expect to see him in the rest of the drama. But with the exception of a short scene with 12-year-old Jesus in Jerusalem, he never reappears. The rest of his life is left to speculation, and we are left with our questions. But of all my questions, my first would be about Bethlehem. I'd like to know about that night in the stable. I can picture Joseph there, moonlit pastures, stars twinkle above, Bethlehem sparkles in the distance. There he is, pacing outside the stable. What was he thinking while Jesus was being born? What was on his mind while Mary was giving birth? He'd done all that he could do. Heated the water, prepared a place for her to lie. He'd made Mary as comfortable as he could in a barn, and then he stepped out. She asked him to be alone, and Joseph never felt more so. In that eternity between his wife's dismissal and Jesus' arrival, what was he thinking? He walked into the night and looked into the stars. Did he pray? For some reason, I don't see Joseph silent. I see him animated, pacing, head shaking one minute, fist shaking the next. This isn't what I had in mind. I wonder what he said. This isn't the way I planned it, God. Not at all. My child being born in a stable? This isn't the way I thought it would be. A cave with sheep and donkeys and hay and straw? My wife giving birth with only the stars to hear her pain? This isn't at all what I imagined. No, no. I imagined family. I imagined grandmothers. I imagined neighbors clustered outside the door and friends standing at my side. I imagined the house erupting with the first cry of the infant, slaps in the back, loud laughter, and jubilation. That is how I thought it would be. The midwife would hand me my child and all the people would applaud. Mary would rest and we would celebrate. All of Nazareth would celebrate. But now look, Nazareth is 5 days' journey away. And here we are in a sheep pasture. Who will celebrate with us? The sheep? The shepherds? The stars? This doesn't seem right. What kind of husband am I? I provide no midwife to aid my wife, no bed to rest her back. Her pillow is a blanket for my donkey. My house for her is a shed of hay and straw. The smell is bad. The animals are loud. Why, I even smell like a shepherd. Did I miss something, God? Did I? When you sent the angel and spoke of the son being born, this isn't what I pictured. I envisioned Jerusalem, the temple, the priest, and the people gathered to watch. A pageant, perhaps, a parade, a banquet at least. I mean, this is the Messiah. Or if not born in Jerusalem, how about Nazareth? Wouldn't Nazareth have been better? At least there I would have had my house and my business. Out here, what do I have? A weary mule, a stack of firewood, and a pot of warm water. This is not the way I wanted it to be. This is not the way I wanted my son. Oh my. I did it again, didn't I? Sorry, Father. I don't mean to do that. It's just that I forget. He's not my son. He's yours. The child is yours. The plan is yours. The idea is yours. And forgive me for asking, but is this how God enters the world? The coming of the angel, I've accepted. The questions people asked about the pregnancy, I can tolerate. The trip to Bethlehem, fine. But why a birth in a stable, God? Any minute now, Mary will give birth, not to a child, but to the Messiah, not to an infant, but to God. That's what the angel said. That's what Mary believes. And God, that's what I want to believe. But surely you can understand, it's not easy. It seems so bizarre. I'm unaccustomed to such strangeness. I'm a carpenter. I make things fit. I square off the edges. I follow the plumb line. I measure twice before I cut once. Surprises are not the friend of a builder. I like to know the plan. I like to see the plan before I begin. But this time, I'm not the builder, am I? This time, I'm the tool. A hammer in your grip. A nail between your fingers. A chisel in your hands. This project is yours, not mine. I guess it's foolish of me to question you. Forgive my struggling. Trust doesn't always come easy to me. But you never said it would be easy, did you? One final thing, Father. The angel you sent, any chance you could send another? If not an angel, maybe a person. I don't know anyone around here, and some company would be really, really nice. I wonder, did Joseph ever pray such a prayer? Perhaps he did, perhaps he didn't, but you probably have. You've stood where Joseph stood, and so have I. You've been caught between what God says and what makes sense. You've done what he told you to do, only to wonder if he was speaking to you in the first place. You've stared into the sky blackened with doubt, and you've asked what Joseph asked. You've asked if you're still on the right road. You've asked if you were supposed to turn left when you turned right. And you've asked if there was a plan behind this scheme. Things haven't turned out like you thought they would. Each of us knows what it's like to search the night for light. Not outside a stable, but perhaps outside an emergency room, on the gravel of a roadside, on the manicured grass of a cemetery. We've asked our questions. We've questioned God's plan, and we've wondered why God does what he does. The Bethlehem sky is not the first to hear the pleading of a confused pilgrim. If you're asking what Joseph asked, let me urge you to do what Joseph did. Obey. That's what he did. He obeyed. He obeyed when the angel called. He obeyed when Mary explained. He obeyed when God sent. He was obedient to God. He was obedient when the sky was bright. He was obedient when the sky was dark. He didn't let his confusion disrupt his obedience. He didn't know everything, but he did what he knew. He shut down his business, packed up his family, and went to another country. Why? Because that's what God said to do. What about you? Just like Joseph, you can't see the whole picture. Just like Joseph, your task is to see that Jesus is brought into your part of the world. And just like Joseph, you have the choice to obey or disobey. Because Joseph obeyed, God used him to change the world. Can he do the same with you? Yes. God still looks for Josephs today, men and women who believe that God is not through with this world, common people who serve an uncommon God. Will you be that kind of person? Will you serve even when you don't understand? You see, the Bethlehem sky is not the first to hear the pleadings of an honest heart, nor the last. And perhaps God didn't answer every question for Joseph, but he answered the most important one. Are you still with me, God? And through the first cries of the God-child, the answer came. Yes, Joseph, I'm with you. There are many questions in the Bible that won't be answered until we get to heaven. Many knot holes and snapshots. Many times we will muse, I wonder. But in our wonderings, there is one question we never need to ask. Does God care? Do we matter to God? Does he still love his children? Because through the small face of the stable-born baby, God says yes. Yes, your sins are forgiven. Yes, your name is written in heaven. And yes, death has been defeated. And yes, God has entered your world. Emmanuel, God is with us. Let's pray together. God, we often come to your word with lots of questions, and I think that you enjoy the questions that we have. But sometimes those questions are based on our lack of faith because we're just not quite sure. And so help us to be reminded at this time of year that the coming of Jesus Christ is that vivid picture of the fact that we can trust you. He was born to give his life for us. Born to be the Messiah, the forgiver of our sins, to reinforce what has been known throughout time, that God still cares for us. And it is my prayer that as we think again about this holiday season, that each person in this room would be mindful of the fact of how much you love them, how much you want to be there for them. And even in the moments of question and doubt, you are still there and have come to us as Emmanuel. And help us to claim that promise, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
All is calm and all is bright everywhere, but in your heart tonight they're singing carols of joy and peace, but you feel too far gone and too far out of reach. Song, your broken heart is crying. Hope is here, just lift your head, for love has come to find you somewhere in your silent night. From heaven's heights to manger low, there is no distance the Prince of Peace won't go. From manger low to Calvary's hill, when your pain runs deep, his love runs deeper still. He has always loved you, child, and he always will. Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears a song. Your broken heart is crying. Hope is here, just lift your He knows. our silent night. Heaven hears the song your broken heart is crying. Hope is here, just lift your head, for love has come to find you somewhere in your silent night. Love will find you. Oh, love will find you. Love will find you.
At this time, At this time, we're going to begin lighting the candles. So, if you have small children that are participating in this, please carefully do that. We're going to light the ends here of the rose and have you pass that on. That would be great. Eventually, there we go. From the fan.
Yeah.
If it goes out, let me know. Did it go out, Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, can you turn the fans off, please? Just stand with us. We'll continue to light the candles. Just a moment here. All right, Rick, you can go to the slide. Thank you.
Jesus, Lord, let thy burn. Jesus, Lord, let thy burn.
Before I pray and we blow our candles out, let me just share this verse with you. Go ahead, Rick. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So it is our prayer that each of you have embraced Jesus as the light of the world. And if you have, that you'll continue to do that even as you leave tonight. Let's close in prayer. God, we live in a world that seems very dark at times. But in spite of that, we're so thankful for the light of the world, Jesus Christ. So as we go this evening and continue to celebrate both tonight and tomorrow about the birth of Jesus, may it be more than just a holiday. May it be a celebration of the light that has come into the darkness and has changed our lives. And may it have an impact in how we live our lives as well in front of other people and with our families. I pray that you'd send these folks out in peace and love and joy in the spirit of this season and through the light of Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Please carefully blow out the candles. We ask as you leave, do not leave them on the pews. There'll be baskets for you. Please leave in a reflective way as they continue to play Silent Night. You are dismissed. Thank you.